How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Legacy.
The legacy of Gilmore Girls.
Legolas.
Legolas. No, we're not here to talk about Lord of the Rings, but no, sometimes
but that
we
is
are.
The legacy of
Gilmore Girls, is it? All right, let's figure it out. Here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Gilmore to Say with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara.
Happy anniversary, Gilmore Girls. Happy birthday, baby.
Happy anniversary, Tara.
Thank you. Really appreciate that was directed at me. Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
Much.
Happy anniversary, besties of this show we all love. Yeah. Today's the third? The first. We couldn't figure out what date it was. And by we, I mean me. But
Haley
it's
couldn't
October
figure out what
1st.
Day it was. I very much knew what day it was.
Yeah. And October 5th, 2000, unto us, the Gilmore Girls were born.
It's true.
And we've been loving it ever since.
It's very true.
We are excited because you still have time to buy tickets to celebrate the anniversary with us in Ann Arbor.
I know. I can't believe we're going to be together on
Saturday in Stars Hollow.
Yeah. Oh, Stars Hollow Saturday. Together. I know we're going to be together on the anniversary. That's very exciting.
Wait,
it's very cool.
I didn't actually put that together.
I
knew
either.
We were going to go there on the anniversary, but like us being together, that's so
that's
fun.
Really special.
I love that.
And we get to be there with some of you. A bunch of you. We got a report about our ticket sales already. And I was like, holy moly.
Oh my gosh. I didn't make enough friendship bracelets. I gotta make more.
I know.
So I gotta double up right quick to make some
friendship
bracelets.
Can I ask
you
about the rule when it comes to friendship bracelets? I don't know if there are any rules, but of course I got a bunch of friendship bracelets in LA. Should I wear those to the event in Ann Arbor to trade? I don't want to trade things people made for me.
So personally, if someone made it for me, I don't trade them because they're mine. But I'm just making a bunch of new ones to trade with the people there. And if you don't bring bracelet, it doesn't matter. I'll still give you a bracelet. It's not only trading with people who bring them. I will give, if you come up to me and I sell bracelets, I will give them to you. But I will not give you bracelets that people give to me. Because I feel like if they gave it to me and they made it for me, I feel like trading it with someone else, like, while they're still in the room
wrong.
Feels wild.
Well,
it feels really wrong.
Can I tell you, I accidentally did that in LA. I didn't mean to. Someone just really, really liked it. And I was like, oh, sure. You know, like I was trying to just be generous. And I was like, oh, that was probably really wrong of me. It's a massive no-no.
Someone looked at it and I was like, not these. Those are mine.
That's so funny. Oh, I didn't
But I just felt like if they gave it to me, because a lot of people made like Archibald. No one else needs an Archibald but Haley.
Who's going to understand?
But there was like Logan ones and Sparkly Hearts, which I really, really loved. But I'm making friendship bracelets for our Coffee event, which coffee is included. It's a $20 ticket. You can go to Rock, Paper, Scissors. We'll put it in the show notes so that you can get a ticket to it. But let's celebrate the Gilmore Girls anniversary in Michigan, of all places. It's going to be
super
fun. Ann
Arbor. I've heard it's going to be so cute. It's both of our first time being there.
I know.
So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah. But we wanted to go ahead and celebrate the anniversary in advance rather than next week, because next week the episode falls directly on Rory Gilmore's birthday.
On Rory Gilmore's birthday, of course.
So that was too perfect. So we're going to do that then. And so today we're going to talk about Gilmore Girls, the legacy of Gilmore Girls. We had a whole episode sort of an intention for an episode today about the legacy, what it means to us, what it means to y'all. I'm not gonna lie, reading through some of the responses that people have sent, I was crying in my bed this morning.
Really?
Reading through some of these, like, maybe I just needed to cry, I don't know, but like reading through some of them, I was like, I'm too overwhelmed for this. Like, some of them were just so emotionally
special.
Like, yes, just like the connection that people have to it. And like, there's one in particular that I'm going to read later. I'm going to read a ton of them later, actually, but one in particular that I want to point out when we get there that slayed me to the ground. Like, I like had to put my phone down. I was like, oh my gosh. But we have tons of responses about what Gilmore Girls means to people, what the legacy means to them, what we think it is. But we decided to start with something different because something, a legacy of sorts, fell into our laps.
When it really did.
We mentioned this a couple weeks ago that we got invited to Kelly Bishop's book event, which I did not get to go, and I am forever remorseful.
I'm so possibly jealous. Didn't get to go. I know.
Because we were theorizing about what might happen there, about who the moderator might be, who she'd be in conversation with. We guessed Amy Sherman-Palladino.
I very much thought it was going to be her.
As it turns out, you can't have a conversation about Kelly's book, The Third Gilmore Girl, which is our book club pick for Where You Read Out Follow next month. Mm-hmm. But you can't have a conversation with The Third Gilmore Girl without another Gilmore Girl. So Lauren Graham showed up. And dude, I don't know anything about this. Y'all, I was so impossibly jealous when Tara texted me and said that Lauren Graham was there. Because, like, I knew it was going to be something big and I should have gone. But it just was hard to get there. But yeah,
totally.
Tara shared a video with me that I watched crying. Was I crying because I was, like, sad I wasn't there and jealous? Or was I crying because it was emotional? A little bit of both.
I was going to say probably both.
A little bit of both. But I don't know anything else. Tara was like, I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm going to tell you when I tell the besties on the podcast.
I did send you one 4-minute video, which
probably led to the
demise of my phone because it definitely died by the end because I was taking so many videos. I was just like I was just so enamored by the fact that I was there. But I also was like, it's so funny. Being there was a conflict of feelings because Christy commented on our TikTok when I posted the video of Lauren coming out and was like,
I know we talk about Christy, but Christy is a listener. She's a Patreon bestie. She is a long time.
We talk about Christy all the time.
Yeah. And I feel
and
like
we get to meet her in St. Louis. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
We reference her like people should just know who Christy is.
We're like, you should know, you at this point, 2.5 years in, almost 3, you should know who Christy is.
If you're a long time listener, you know Christy.
You know.
She'll be there in St. Louis.
But Christy commented and was like, how many times did you cry, Tara? Be honest. I didn't. And it was because the woman was too shocked to speak. The woman was too shocked to leak from her eyes. Like, I genuinely was just like, I couldn't believe I was there.
Just stunned, flabbergasted.
And I didn't cry till afterwards, like rewatching it all back and being like, I was in this room. I was in the room that happened. It was very, very cool.
When you texted me that it was Lauren Graham, I did cry. I was like, I told my mom about it. She was like, Haley, if we would have known, we would have gotten you there. I was like, I told you about it.
Oh no.
And I know. I was jealously upset, but of course, very excited.
I would have felt the same way if the tables were turned. It's that FOMO feeling.
Yeah.
But let me take you back to the beginning because it was a really...
Let's go back to the beginning.
Yeah, it was... So cool. It was just a really great night. Now, we recorded earlier in the day, and you know, my energy level, my social battery had just come from a wedding weekend with my family, who I absolutely love, but my social battery was super low.
And it was a Patreon episode, and it was really long.
We recorded a Patreon episode. We did season 6, episode 2, Fight Face, which, spoiler alert, I absolutely did not like that episode. I was
just like super not into it.
Oh, man. I am so far... Again, I said it on this episode. Shania Twain.
Speaking of Kelly, though,
impress me much.
You know what? Actually, I was going to say this, that we should rank the episodes in season 6 by Shania Twain songs.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know why that, when you said that the other day, I was
like,
I
need to
do
Shania Twain lyrics.
Yeah. 100%.
All right.
I just feel like, man, I feel like a woman. That could fit in there somewhere.
Sure.
I don't know. I think it could be fun.
Sure. All right.
But
I'll think
on
that.
Name of Kelly slaying season 6.
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's not about that per se. It's just there's a lot. And if you want to hear all of our thoughts, then definitely tune in on Patreon. But all of this is to say my energy level was super low. I was like, I'm excited to go tonight, but I'm just a little bit like pooped. I just got back from Connecticut. And so I get ready. I know I'm there to like also kind of film content because that's the thing is that this, in addition to the fact that when Lauren came out, I was just like too stunned to really like feel all my feelings in the moment. What we do is so fascinating because obviously we're fans of this show. We love the show so much, but also it has become a job. And so there was like the piece of me that was 13 years old and fangirling over the show that I've loved for so long. But there was also the piece of me that was like, how are we going to talk about this, share this, et cetera.
Yeah.
Like, the business brain in me was also going.
Yeah. You want to bring the community into it is really like what that thought is.
Exactly.
Like, how can I take this to people while still enjoying it?
Exactly. And so that's why it was a little hard for me to like really feel my emotions truly in the moment. And I was present for as much of it as I could be, but it wasn't until I got back to my apartment and really understood like what I had just witnessed
that it washed over like, you.
Yes, truly. So I go and show up at the 92nd Street Y, which is where this was taking place, and it was mobbed outside. I genuinely was like,
the line was wild.
Haley, that was only one of the lines. There was a line on the other side of the building that was the same. When I got to the front, it was like they were stopping people on one side of the building to let the other side in. And I was like, there are two lines. It was crazy. So when I got there, I was like, hey, is this the Kelly Bishop event? And they were like, yeah. Like, everybody was kind of like, yeah, we know. We also were like, whoa.
Yeah. We asked the same question 20 minutes ago.
Truly. And so as I'm walking by, Gabby, friend of the podcast.
Yes.
Grabs me. She sees me because we both knew that we were going to be there. She grabs me and she's like, oh my God, hi. And I was like, hi. I said, do you mind if I stand with you? I felt bad. I didn't want to like cut anybody. But also I was like, I found my friend. So she was like, no, come with me. So we were chatting. But as that happened, then another person, because it was like it had like snaked around. So it was almost like as we were walking one way, there was the people who were further along in line were walking past us. Yeah. So someone walking past in the opposite direction grabs me and is looking at me. And I'm like, you know that split second when you're just like, oh my God, I can't place this person. They look maybe familiar. Like this girl looks so like my grabbed. Friend Marissa.
Scary.
Well, I don't remember if she like grabbed me. But you know what I mean? Just like got my attention and was like, oh my God. And I was like I had that moment of like, oh my God, this person knows me. I don't know them. She was like, Gilmore to say. And I was like, yeah. And she was like,
that is my given name.
It was so sweet. Her name is Gilly. We didn't really get a chance to talk, but it was so great to see you. I wish we had had a moment to actually connect because then the line was moving and I was moving in the opposite direction. But it was so sweet. But it was just that split second of me being like, oh my God, this person knows me.
Let me
like, you know, when someone's looking at you with like familiarity and you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know
what to do here.
It was so cool. And I really wish that we had had a chance to talk. Go more to say. I was like, and Gabby's like, that's going to happen to you a lot tonight. And I actually didn't. That was the only person that I saw. But there were people in our comments being like, oh my God, I saw you and I thought that was you. Or, oh, I was sitting right near you. I can't believe I didn't see you kind of a thing. So that was really special to know that there were people in the house that night. I also had like friends from life that happened to be there that were like, oh my God, I didn't know you were there. It's just so funny. But
there were so many people there.
Yes, there were so many people there. And I was, because I didn't know what scale the event was going to be, how many people were invited. We, of course, were invited by Gallery Books, the publisher, which was such a treat. And Haley has made that connection with them, you know, just expanded upon it with Gilmore to Read, which has been really cool. And so that was such a treat. But speaking of Gallery Books, they sent us an advanced copy of the book like a week prior to the event. And then when I got downstairs, I brought my book. I put it in my bag because I was like, I don't think I'm going to get to meet Kelly tonight, but on the off chance I do, and I want her to sign this book, you know, I'm going to bring this book in my bag. And then I get to the bottom of the stairs and I have another package from Gallery with another copy of the book inside.
They came in these mailers and it said the third Gilmore Girl in the Gilmore Girls font with like fall autumnal leaves. Like it was so cute.
It was so cute. And so I, of course, I saved the mailer, but I'm like, I have that. I like put the book in my bag and then I folded up the mailer and I put that in my bag. And so when I'm standing in line with Gabby, I was like, so I have these books. And she was like, oh my God. I was like, no, I don't know. I just have all these books. And then when we got inside, they gave us another copy. I just have three books.
Oh, because the ticket came with a
book. So they hand me this copy. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh,
they're going to think I stole all these books. I promise I didn't. So anyway, I go to my seat. It was really lovely. I was seated in like the left, like house left section towards the front. No one around me. This event was sold out. No one around me. Like the seat next to me was empty. Two seats next to me was empty. It was so weird because the whole rest of the place was
for me.
I know. I almost took a video of it to be like, I wish you were here. But I didn't want to like rub salt in the... Yeah, kind of like that ASPCA commercial. Come on, Sarah McLachlan. Anyway, so the event starts and, you know, they had someone from 92nd Street Y do an intro to her and she comes out. And I mean, she's just so freaking cute. She is so adorable.
The video of her like shocked to see everyone is fucking precious.
Just so cute.
Like, she just doesn't understand her enamored. Own
age. Yeah, she yeah. doesn't. And she's so, like, her little, she just, like, walks up there and then she goes. It was so.
What a darling doll.
She is, the way everybody describes her, like, Sheila talked about her on the pod and also talked about her in person about being abroad. And I was like, that's. Kelly, she's so yeah. sophisticated. She's very, very intentional when she speaks. It was just so that showed so much. Like, it was just emanating off of her that she yeah. is just a light to people. She is not Emily Gilmore. She no. obviously presents a very sophisticated she version does very of well. Herself.
Yeah,
but
she's an actress.
She's a really good actress. So. She comes out and she's like, you know, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited for such a wonderful evening. But this would not be complete without another Gilmore girl. And everybody goes wild. I'm still thinking it could be Amy Sherman-Palladino.
She could be a Gilmore girl for sure.
She's the original Gilmore girl if you want to think about it that way.
Yeah.
Lauren Graham came out and it was like Eras Tour screaming. Like, it genuinely,
oh my
and
God.
I was right there. I was screaming.
When Tara sent me the video, she said, sorry, I'm screaming.
I literally did. I said, but apologies, warning.
I couldn't differentiate your scream from everyone else, the roar that came from the crowd.
It really was
like Taylor Swift walked in. But, like, that's who Lauren Graham is to these people. Like, yeah. she is the icon. And then it's the same way that Kelly is. But for them both to be there together... Dude, Emily and Lorelai in one room?
It was unmatched. I mean, it was unmatched. It was so cool. And I was just, again, like, I was just so enamored. I didn't have feelings. I just was shocked. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. And they were so cute. And the whole conversation was so special because you could tell Lauren's heart was in it so much, especially having come off of her book tour recently. Like,
yeah, she just felt so on book tour.
Yeah, she just felt so honored to be there with Kelly, and her relationship with Kelly means so much to her, and she made that very clear throughout the entire
that's the clip that you sent me when interview. She was like crying and she pulled a tissue out
she
of
pulled
bra.
A tissue out of her bra. She said, my bra tissue. It was very cute.
So Lorelai of her.
That's the thing, is everybody kept, like, people were buzzing as we were walking out, and they were like, they are their characters. And I was like, Kelly's not. Lauren is. Like, I didn't say that, but I wanted to.
Yeah.
But they talked everything from a chorus line and her landing her role there, her history with dance.
Because that's all in the book. Yeah.
It's all in the book. And also her experience being cast on Dirty Dancing, which was one of my favorite stories. And just the way she speaks, the way that she's an amazing storyteller. And she's very honest. She says that, like, I'm almost honest to a fault. But it's so endearing and so special. But the way that they talked about Gilmore Girls was very cool. She talked about auditioning for the role of Emily Gilmore, and I'm sure a lot of this is in her book. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But she did talk about the fact that she really wanted this role, and she did want to, especially after being in A Chorus Line and being known for being a dancer. She wanted to be an actor. She really wanted to kind of separate herself. When she moved to LA, she did just that, you know. LA is not necessarily very theater oriented. And so for her to have a Tony Award didn't necessarily mean much out there, right? Like, they're very Oscar driven, very Emmy driven when it comes to awards. So she kind of had the means to have a fresh start in a sense and really establish herself as an actress. And so when she, you know, did Dirty Dancing and then eventually landed the role of Emily Gilmore, you know, when they were in the casting process, she wanted to be New York based still. She wanted to be able to fly back and forth. She didn't want to live in LA. And so finding out that this was a role that she could kind of go back and forth, I think, was really appealing to her. But also she was kind of waiting for the opportunity to go out to California to do screen tests. And so she's waiting for the call from her agent. And she got the call and had been waiting for a long time. She kind of thought she didn't get it. And they apparently said to her, like, he called and said, like, you actually don't have to go out to California to screen test. And she was really bummed. And he was like, because you got the part. They didn't screen test her at all. They just cast her, which is so funny because I feel like Lauren's story is, I think they screen tested her, but they didn't have her do a chemistry read with Alexis, which she talked about on Tuesday night, that, you know, she didn't meet Alexis until they were in the lobby of the hotel together. And then they did a like table read together. And the same was true about Kelly and Ed, because Lauren asked about the picture that they took at the Tony Awards when they both won. Yeah. They both won the same year that Kelly won for A Chorus
Line. Adorable
line.
Picture of them. Yeah.
It's so cute because they always take a picture of like the best actor winners. And Ed had won for Mrs. Warren's Profession that year. And so Lauren had asked, you know, was that the first time you met Ed? And it was. And they just had a very in passing, you know, exchange, you know, hey, congratulations. Yeah, you too. And they did not see each other again until Gilmore Girls.
Wait, really? I bet that's on her. Like, I literally cannot wait to read her book and do an episode on it with you. Like, I feel like we're just going to cry back and forth.
I know. And I'm very excited to read the book and kind of see how that operates in tandem to their conversation, because they knew a lot of people in the room hadn't read the book yet. So, because they were all getting copies. It had just
came out that day.
Me, I had the advantage. I should have read the book. But
I know. I did read the foreword by Amy Sherman-Palladino. Oh, and it's basically that idea of, like, we knew it was her. Like, that was Emily Gilmore. And it's just, I started crying reading it. So the book club coverage on this is going to be dramatic, I'm sure. But so a lot of this, when I was flipping through it, a lot of this was what was covered. She talks about A Chorus Line. She talks about Ed. She talks about Gilmore Girls. So
Ed was brought up a lot, which was really special. And to kind of bring that story home, Lauren asked, like, when was the first time that you met Ed doing, you know, Gilmore Girls? And as I mentioned, they didn't do a chemistry read. They met on set to take that picture of the two of them with that little girl. They sat for that photo. They did like a portrait. And that was the first day that she met Ed.
What little girl?
You know, the portrait that they zoom in on in the pilot?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sorry. I was like, wait, why is there one little girl? Like a random little girl?
Kind of. Not no.
Young Lorelai. Gotcha.
Young Lorelai. Okay. Kelly described her as that little girl who was meant to grow up and be you, which is very sweet. That was the day that they met. And so she met Ed before she met anybody else, before she met Lauren.
Naturally. That's what you got to do, right?
Yeah. But it's just so funny to me that, like, the two, arguably the two duos of this show, of this series, Lauren and Alexis, Ed and Kelly, did not have a chemistry read before they were cast. And that to me is great casting, that you feel like they're such good actors. They're going to be able to emulate these characters well enough to play off of each other. But you struck gold.
To carry the show.
Twice.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's really interesting to me that I feel like good actors can sometimes get in the same room together and just not mesh well, just like their chemistry just came, like, it's running up against each other and it's not working. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it happens to the best of actors. And totally. It's so wild to me that Alexis, who'd never really done anything before, Lauren, who this was like her biggest role at this point, and then Kelly and Ed, like, what? Like,
and also the fact that I don't know that they knew that this was going to take the direction that it did. So it's a little different than mother, daughter, and a married couple that's been married for 30 plus years. But Luke and Lorelai, I assume, didn't have a chemistry read. I don't think Scott and Lauren did. If, like, Lauren said that she was cast nearly like the day before.
She's the last person, right?
Yeah, because she was tied up in another show contract that they didn't know she would be able to get out of. So I don't even know if they did a chemistry read. She didn't even talk about that. And I don't know if they knew, especially given that Luke's character was initially supposed to be a woman. I don't know that they knew that this was the love story they were going to tell throughout, you know, six, almost seven, if you want to.
I wonder if Scott's ever talked about that on his podcast, if they did a chemistry read.
I don't know. I'm sure he talked about his casting process. Because I remember him talking about Duke. And the Duke.
Yeah, because it harkens back to, if any of you have been on Patreon for a long time, the first episode we ever did was the unaired pilot, and they recast Dean. So I wondered if there was the capacity, like, if they recognized Lauren and Scott weren't meshing, that they could have recast him. But they did not. So it seemed like everything worked out fine. But I wonder how, because it then makes me wonder how, like, David Sutcliffe Like how that all.
I mean, there had to have been a chemistry
at that point because he comes in.
It was already well established who these people were. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
I know a lot of you besties are romance readers like me, and let me ask you, is there anything better than when the next book in a series you love is finally released? For me, that is The Davenports More Than This by Crystal Marquis. This is the much-anticipated sequel of The Davenports, which was an instant New York Times bestseller. I loved The Davenports. It was giving Will They or Won't They Bridgerton vibes, so of course, opulent historical drama with leading ladies and their dashing suitors, grand balls, and drama. You know I love the drama. All set in 1910 Chicago with a wealthy black family, the Davenports. And I love that the author's inspiration for the Davenports was a real family, the daughters of C.R. Patterson, who was a carriage manufacturer in the early 1900s. And I can confirm The Davenports More Than This continues the story you fell in love with, or will fall in love with if you haven't started yet, as we pick back up with Ruby, Olivia, Amy Rose, and Helen as they navigate a rapidly changing society and discover the courage to steer their own paths in life and, of course, in love. As the drama heats up in the summer of 1910, you'll find these young black women meeting new faces and facing new trials that change their lives and hearts in ways they couldn't have imagined. If you've read The Davenports, you know you want to pick this up immediately, and if you have not yet read this series, this is the perfect time of year to settle into a story that you won't want to leave. You can buy your copies at The Davenports by Crystal Marquis and its sequel, The Davenports More Than This, wherever books are sold.
Haley, do you like free stuff?
I do like free stuff.
Well, then you're in luck because Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal starts now and they are giving away free gifts with every purchase.
We have an exclusive advance invite to Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal for the entire month of November. This is their best sale of the entire year.
If you're feeling stressed out or haven't been sleeping well lately, you are not alone.
You are not. You might not be able to change all the chaos out there, but you can start supplementing with one key nutrient to improve your sleep quality, as well as over 600 other biochemical reactions in your body.
Magnesium Breakthrough is the only product I've found that has all the magnesium forms in one convenient bottle. You'll open less bottles, spend less money, and still get the top 7 forms of magnesium for better sleep, managing stress, balancing hormones, improving your mood, feeling refreshed, all in one bottle.
When you get all 7 critical forms of magnesium, pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded.
Right now, for the entire month of November, Buy Optimizers, the makers of Magnesium Breakthrough, are having a Black Friday blowout sale on all of their products.
All month long, you will get discounts with our unique code, plus access to up to $100 in free gifts with purchase.
This is the best time to stock up and take advantage of all the free extras you're going to get. You can only get this exclusive deal through our link for our Gilmore to Say audience only. You won't find this on Amazon or even on the company website. So go to buyoptimizers.com/moretosay and use code moretosay to get your discount and free gifts today.
And one last thing, you should know all Buy Optimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund up to 1 year after your purchase, no questions asked.
Again, the link to go to right now for this exclusive deal is buyoptimizers.com/moretosay. My favorite part of the evening is that Lauren said, and this was right, she said this right before I started filming, which is kind of why I started filming that 4-minute video I sent to you. Lauren said, you recently took your life in your hands when you declared yourself Team Logan in an interview. And yeah. Everybody lost their minds.
I loved that because she was like, have you hired a bodyguard?
Have you hired a bodyguard? It was just so funny because it reminded me of that video that Lauren did on social media where she was like, you never pick a team.
Oh, with it was the summer I turned pretty. And she was like, you never pick a team.
It was
which
so
killed me.
Funny.
What I loved so much about the video that you sent me is that Kelly was like, I didn't know. I'm not on social media. I don't like recognize how big of a deal this is that like people were going to pick this up, that CBS Sunday Morning was going to ask her about it.
But I know. It was so funny.
And my favorite thing that Lauren Graham said in response is like, for wouldn't Emily like Logan? And she was like, I like how you're clarifying this is your character and not you.
Yeah, she was like, you really should have led with that, Kelly. Like, it was just so, I love their energy. Yeah. I love their relationship. Yeah. It's just their dynamic is so beautiful.
So good. I just loved her reasoning, though, was Kelly talking She's like, about Matt.
Yeah, he's cute. He's a cutie.
And like, she talked about him being like an old Hollywood star, that he wasn't boyish, that he came in and he was like Clark Gable, manly, like rose to the occasion of the role. And she just liked the way that he played Logan. And I was just like, and she's like, he's cute, he's charming. And I was like, wow, if I was Matt Zuckery, like, where is like, his POV on this?
Thank you so
like,
much, Kelly.
I would be blushing.
He's also
if
not
I
a social
Matt.
Media person.
He's not. So. But I need someone to get his reaction to all of this. Cause like, if like years later, one of the like lead actresses in the show was like, oh, I'm Team Logan because this guy was amazing, I would be like, blushed cheeks, so
I
excited.
Know.
Kelly
I
Bishop
know.
Is saying this about you.
I know. So
someone get
cute.
Mad on the phone right now.
But speaking of social media, it was very cute because at one point, I don't remember what she was talking about, but she was like, it was very demure.
Someone told
and
her.
I just, the entire audience lost it because she is very demure, like in her approach to things, you can tell. And I don't know if she was talking about herself, but she said very demure and everybody lost their minds.
Someone had to have told her about the trend,
of
especially because her character says that about Rory.
Oh, yeah. The demurest.
Yeah.
It was
I love.
So you know? Funny. The whole night was just spectacular.
But, like, I can't tell if someone said that to her, like, she told her about demure, or she just used that word like that, and she was like, wow.
No, someone told her. Like, the way in her demeanor, she, like, did it kind of, like, cheeky to the audience, because
like
she
a little
someone
wink
told
nod.
Her.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know if suddenly she was like, whoa, the audience loves that from me. Which I would love. I'd just love her confusion on it. But
it was very cute. But someone tapped one her question in. That was asked, because audience questions were being taken on index cards and I saw them being passed around and
fun.
I really should have done it, especially knowing. Well, so here's the thing is that earlier in the day we had been recording for Patreon, but we were discussing what the format of today's episode was going to be and kind of going back and forth about that between the two of us. And we were like, okay, the legacy of Gilmore Girls, how do we want to approach this? And I can't
Well, first
believe...
of all, we were like, why? What did we mean by that?
Yeah, also that. We were like, when we wrote this 6 months ago, what do we mean by this?
Yeah.
But I can't believe, because Lauren took all of them and she was kind of going through them. I thought they were going to be like super vetted and then handed off. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. I don't know. But I wish that I had written like, what do you think the legacy of Gilmore Girls is? Because I would have loved to hear about that from them. But I didn't think of it soon enough. I thought about it as it was happening. And also my phone had died. So I wouldn't have been able to capture it. And I probably wouldn't have remembered what they said. But
you just blacked out.
Just completely blacked out. Because they were also reading names. Like so-and-so asks. And if Lauren Graham said Tara asks, I would have just passed away right there. But something that they talked about, which of course is always talked about when people do interviews and when they reminisce on Gilmore Girls, any of the actors from the show, Lauren asked, it was a question from the audience about whether or not Kelly could see herself playing Emily Gilmore again, to which she said, of course. However.
Or what I thought was interesting, she said, could you imagine it? And she says, yes.
Yeah.
And I, whenever someone says that, I'm always like, yes, a very good imagination. Of course.
Yeah, of course you can. But she did go on to say that she wasn't sure that that was a possibility, mostly because of where everybody's at in their lives and that it would, they would definitely need, she said at least four of us. And I would assume she means Lauren, Emily, Lauren, Kelly, Alexis, and Scott
to tell
the story.
Or Kirk, Sean Gunn.
Maybe just Sean Gunn, yeah. But I do feel like they all know the story's kind of over.
Told.
Like the story's been brought to completion. Does it mean that they necessarily won't produce episodes in the future? No.
No.
But I do think that they all kind of know that they struck gold when they were able to come back. And I love that she was like, what was it called? A Year in the Life? I was like,
well,
Kelly.
I like that Lauren added this the tidbit about like, it was originally called Seasons.
Yes.
Winter, spring, summer, fall. But they thought that people would be so too confused on Netflix to see like season 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons.
Seasons.
Because there were so many seasons of the show.
Totally.
So they went with A Year in a Life, which you and I had talked about before. Like, they should have called it Seasons. Because I remembered that so clearly that like when she said that, I was like, oh, yeah, like a long time ago.
I don't remember that. That's
I don't
so
think
funny.
I don't remember if it was on pod or if in our
Chatty Chatties?
A revival, Nothing More, or if it was like in our Chatty Chatties. I think it was on our Chatty Chatties because like that Chatty Chatties.
We have a segment called Chatty Chatties.
Yeah, it's where we just talk.
And yeah, not just being recorded. Not that we don't already do that, but yeah,
all the time. But yeah, so I think that we had said that because then like when she revealed that, I was like, oh yes, yeah. Okay, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it was interesting, but I think A Year in the Life is beautiful.
Perfect.
But I love that she acknowledged that and she was like, we were so lucky to get to do this, but I don't know that that's something that we'll be able to do again, which makes so much sense.
Perfect sense. Especially because she said everyone has spread out and is doing different projects.
And I mean, she's referring, of course, to all of them, but like Melissa McCarthy, Sean Gunn.
Yeah, specifically the actors, not the characters in the show. Because at first I thought that's where she was talking about, but she means actors. But I did like her tidbit of saying that like she wanted to act for the rest of her life, so like
until she's maybe dead. She would do it. I loved that
she wanted like, to act until she was dead. Yeah.
She's just the best, and I could have sat there for hours and hours, and so could they. Like Lauren was like, I don't want this to end, but it unfortunately has to. So, and that's when they both got really emotional. It was really beautiful to watch. Yeah. And they hugged and they bowed. It was so cute. I was like, oh my God.
And Lauren did wear a very Lorelai outfit, I felt like, with the sequins. Like
pants.
Yeah. It was a very like Lorelai formal wear.
As did Kelly. She had that beautiful blouse with, I think it was like a pussy bow. It was so cute. Two of them looked absolutely incredible, and it was so great to see. And then as we walked out, they gave us little M&Ms, like little packs of M&Ms, but they were custom, so they said Gilmore Girls and the 92nd Street Y on them, little leaves.
Cute.
And they were all like, you know, fall colors, like red, orange, yellow. They were really cute. I have them in my bag.
Aww, that's really cute.
It was really, really cute. And then like
suddenly made me want to cry.
It was just like the touches were so beautiful.
Yeah.
And then my phone died, and so I hopped in a cab to go home because I didn't want to be like phoneless,
lost on the subway,
public transportation. I mean, I would have been fine, but I got in a cab, and it was just one of those. I haven't had this in a while, where like I get in a cab. I used to have this all the time, and I'm sure that you may have experienced this as well.
When I know exactly what you're about to say,
and you have that feeling of like, oh my God, like I live in the city and I got to just experience something so magical. It's just like that magic of New York City really washed over me. It was a very beautiful feeling, and I haven't felt that in a long time. And so
I love that.
Yeah. If you've ever lived in New York, you know that feeling.
It is such a specific feeling because I think there's two versions of it. It's you are close enough to walk home. Maybe taking the train would be a lot quicker, but you're close enough to walk home and you put your headphones in.
Yeah.
And you either turn on something that's like instrumental or like a very poignant song, and you're like, I live in New York City. I just did something so cool. I feel like I'm living in a dream. Like, this is so wonderful. Or you get in the cab because you are too far, and it's like you're doing the Serena Vanderwoodson looking out the window the city flashes by,
the buildings pass,
and you're like, am I in a movie? Is my life perfect? Like,
oh, 100%.
It's not, but I love how imperfect it is after nights like this. When you said I got in the cab, I was like, she had the moment. Can I tell
it's
you
just so
when
lovely.
You were having that moment, I was having a moment where I was like, I don't want to move back to New York City, but do I? Because I like I literally had the feeling of like, I miss having that moment. Do you know what I mean? Of like, I miss the New York City moment, but I don't really want to move back there.
I know,
for like the sprinklings of that feeling that would happen.
Yeah, of course.
But I was kind of like, do I want to live back on the Upper East Side? Do I want to have that feeling? And I was like, I do, but I don't. But
Haley,
if I don't want to do that.
Here and we were able to record together and be together in person.
I know. And I was like, I can't even tell Tara about this. I can't even get her hopes up. But I just like,
don't get my hopes up, man.
I don't want to do it. But I like, I was just like, I miss that moment because it's just, and it's like, it'd be so different now, especially given what it was because of what we do. Like Gilmore Girls was our comfort for so long, but it's also become our job in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
In most ways, admittedly. But it's such a dream to have that.
Yeah.
But like to have this like event that we were invited to have Kelly, which we knew she was going to be there, but then to have Lauren and like to live this moment and go through that, it's just such a magical, it's like that's what the New York moment really, that's like peak.
It was really, really special. I'm so glad that you can identify and commiserate with that feeling.
Exactly.
I can't believe you had that moment.
Yeah, 100%.
That's
I think the first time you've had that moment ever. Well, since I moved back. Yeah. And I was like, and I think it was just the FOMO that I was like,
of course,
if I lived there, I could have that. But it was just, it was the magic of it that was like wanting to draw me back in, because I'm sure the not magical moments would push me back away.
Yeah, totally.
But
I hope one day that we can have a space maybe in New York City where you can come.
We're in Georgia.
Or in Georgia.
It's in this room.
You can but I just mean to say, like, where if things like this happen, you know, we have a space where you can go.
Or the hotels aren't $15,000.
That was insane. I was telling my friends about it the next day because I was like, my partner was supposed to come. Oh, so it was so funny. Real weird tag, but very special tag to this story. So when I was working at Katz back in 2016, 2017. I met this guy named Matthew who has become a very good friend of mine. We've done several shows together since then. He is a former Broadway dancer who now is a dresser and teaches Pilates. And so when we met on Katz, one of the reasons that we became friends, I think, was because I've told you about my Secret Santa basket from my friend Philip.
Yes.
And
yes.
Matthew was like, oh, I didn't know you were a Gilmore Girls fan. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he goes, I actually teach Pilates to Carol Leonard. And I was like, yes. I told you this story, right? And I was like, I don't know who that is. And he was like, she plays the grandmother. And I was like, Kelly Bishop? He's like, oh, right. Yes, Kelly Bishop. And I was like, who's Carol Leonard? And he was like, that's her real name. And I was like, okay, government names.
It was so funny. I was like, for the government Pilates?
Anyway, he told me that she was an absolute doll, a dream. He was teaching Pilates to her. So when I found out that you couldn't go with me, I was curious if I was going to get a plus one to bring with me. And I was like, oh, that would be so fun to bring Matthew because he like knows her personally.
Yeah.
Obviously, that didn't happen, which was fine. I didn't realize I could have asked for it. I had an empty chair next to me, but
yeah,
is what it is. Anyway, I walk into work yesterday. This, when we're recording this, is weeks in advance. So yesterday morning was the morning after, and I was at Water for Elephants Day work, and who's there but my friend Matthew. He was there like filling in for my friend, and I was like, oh my god, it's so funny, I was just thinking about you. And I told him, and he was like, yes, Carol, that's so funny, I would have loved to go. And I was like, I didn't have a ticket.
He calls her Carol.
It's just so cute. Yeah, but it was just so funny because like I always think about the fact that he referred to her as Carol Leonard, and that I was thinking of inviting him to come with me had I gotten an extra ticket in your absence. And then there he was the morning after. But I was telling him about why you couldn't come, and he was like, him and my supervisor were both like, why were hotels so expensive? I was like, I do not know. But Fashion Week is over.
Yeah, but like the week before and the week after are always really expensive. Like I remember that because like my parents were gonna come 1 week, I think it was before Fashion Week, and the hotels were just way too expensive for them to come, so they canceled their trip.
That is so strange to me.
Yeah, but the last thing I did want to mention from the event was from the video that you sent me, which is all I have to go off of, but mm-hmm. It was my favorite part, and I feel like it leads really well into talking about the legacy, which is what this episode really is about, because I feel like that, as much as like talking indirectly about it through them, is the legacy. It's that roar of the crowd when they walk out 24 years after the show first started, years after it has been off the air. Like the original stopped airing in 2007, and it's 2024 now, so it's it's beloved, and I feel like that speaks throughout it. But Lauren asked Kelly, looking back on her career, what she's most proud of, and she said Gilmore Girls. Yeah. And it just made me like that. I think that was what made me cry so much, because I was like, she wrote this book called The Third Gilmore Girl about her entire life, because that was like what she felt like defined her career and what she was most proud of. Mm-hmm. And like then I was like, oh my God, the thing that she was most proud of in her career was what she made the title of her memoir.
Yeah.
And I was just like, we should all be so hopeful to have something that we can look back on and be the most proud of in our lives. And
totally.
Have that be our memoir, the name of our memoir, reference it there. And it just made me so emotional in terms of like both of them being there. Also Lauren asking her that question and finding out that the thing that she was most proud of is the thing that she did with her.
Yeah.
And I just, there were so many layers to it that I was like, okay, I've worked myself up into a nice cry.
Yeah, completely. There was a moment when Lauren read an excerpt of the book to Kelly and it was so cute. She put on her beautiful, adorable glasses.
Her glasses. And it's just
so cute. But it just, it resonated with me how this show has withstood the test of time, not just through us as a community, not just through the work that they put out there, you know, Kelly's memoir, et cetera, but through the relationship that they have with each other, because it is so ever present there still. And, you know, they talked about how she and Amy, the two of them and Amy, like, got lunch or have gotten lunch. Like, they still keep in touch. And that is also what keeps it so preserved, is that this was a chapter in their lives that resonated so deeply with them that it's still so ingrained in their relationships today.
Like, so many times actors will do a show, they'll have like a show friendship, and then they'll like peter off and they'll see each other at award shows, and like that's kind of the extent of a lot of their relationships. Mm-hmm. But this one is just one that they wanted to like really like be intentional about
it,
and
it touched they value their that hearts.
So much.
And it touched ours. You know, something Lauren said at the end was, you know, thank you for being here, your enthusiasm for this show still today, we relish these moments, like we revel in them because it makes it all the more special. So I love how much they love how much we love it.
Yeah.
I love how they love that we love.
That we love the thing that they love.
No, we don't know. Yeah. Yeah. It was really special. Exactly. So she knows that the community that we are a part of is crucial in how the legacy of Gilmore Girls has withstood the test of time. But we actually put it out there to our listeners and asked them what they believe the legacy of Gilmore Girls is. Last year, when we celebrated the 23rd anniversary of Gilmore Girls, we asked about life lessons from our listeners. And so I thought it would be really, we thought it would be really fun to kind of ask again what you guys think the legacy of Gilmore Girls is, so that we could maybe build one that encapsulates a lot of what you guys have shared. And so, Haley, got a chance to comb through them.
Yeah, I went through all of them, and this is me crying, because we actually asked two questions. We asked what the legacy was, but we also asked what Gilmore Girls means to you. Mm-hmm. And I want to start there, because I feel like it's kind of like, what is a legacy? And I feel like I'm quoting Hamilton. It's planting seeds in a garden you don't get to see, is what he says.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of these answers of what it means to you could apply to the legacy, and some of the answers in the legacy might more so be like, what is the eternal takeaway from Gilmore Girls? So it kind of like broke out a little bit, but the what does Gilmore Girls mean to you one, this is when I started crying reading through this, because it was just the things that people were saying, it was so relatable, but also really heartwarming and heartbreaking that like people need a show like this because of things that go on in your life. But to distill it, people kind of had like two very similar answers as we went through the responses. And it was comfort and coming home is what Gilmore Girls means to them. And people said both of those sentiments in 100 different ways.
Yeah.
But I want to read through a lot of them, because I just feel like I'm going to read them to y'all, and I want you to cry too.
Yeah. We're here to make you cry today.
We're here to make you cry. And I think that that's something that, like, if you're listening to this podcast, it's because you watch this show with such a reverence that you want to continue talking about it. And I feel like that's one of the reasons, like, we call y'all our besties, which is honestly a reference to TikTok and our TikTok beginnings, because that was, like, just such a familiar word used there, but also because like y'all are friends, and we just want this to feel like a friendly FaceTime where we're gonna make you cry today. And if you don't cry, that's fine. Maybe you're not a crier, but maybe you'll cry on the inside,
maybe
from happiness. But the first one that I saw that I really loved was, it's a warm tight hug, comfort and happiness. Very direct, very sweet. Family, favorite fall show, what I go to when I need to shut the world down for a while, like a weighted blanket to go to a better world. Like, this is when I started just like,
oh, I love that.
Comfort, reliability, safety, comfort and safety. Reminds, a lot of people said this in a lot of different ways, but it reminds them of who they watched the show with, whether it was a mom, a sister, a friend, grandmother, father, whoever. That's what they relate to it.
Totally.
It's autumn, comfort, nostalgia, family. My dad says it's the reason I went to college. Like, that one really overwhelmed me. This one is actually from your mom, Tara. She said, it's the epitome of It Takes a Village, with some of the characters being from the Village People.
That's incredible. I love that my mom submitted.
Genie. Yeah. Hi, Genie. At first I saw that and I loved that and I saw who it was and I was like, how? Hi, mom. So I had to read that one, of course.
Oh, that's so special. I didn't know she commented because I only looked at the legacy answers. I didn't look at the What Gilmore Girls Means to Them answers.
Oh yeah. She didn't answer that one, but she answered here. Fall family, finding yourself. I just like an alliteration. Community and simplicity. So representative of a single mom. A lot of people said that this is a substitute for a mother that they have lost or an absent mother that they don't have, but they have a bad relationship. Mm-hmm. It's coming home. It feels like my best friend. It's my entire life. It makes me feel welcome. A lot of people said this was career inspo, whether it's screenwriting, novel writing, just writing in general. Mm. It's my everything show. I put it on when I'm happy, sad, or in between. It's comfort and a demonstration of complex family relationships, connection, community, creativity. It's an anchor, something consistent I can always turn to no matter what. It's my safe space when anything... Oh my God, I'm about to start crying. It's my safe space when anything bad happens, I can escape to Stars Hollow. Escape from reality in a dream world of comfort. No one is perfect, but they all find someone who loves them. That one gave me chills. Mm. It's what I put... This one also really got me. It's what I put on to feel at home, even when I'm in my own house. Mm. It helps my crippling anxiety. The single mom representation I needed. This was from both single mothers and daughters who grew up with single mothers. It's therapy. It's everything. And then this was the one where I like had to put my phone down because it got me so hard, which was, I think the Gilmores were the first people to get me. Wow. And I was like... Like that one really just like broke me down. But like as I was reading through this, it's just like so emotional the way that people connect to this show that like it's such an individual thing. And next week we have Amanda Montell on to talk about her version of Gilmore Girls and Rory Gilmore. But we have a episode on her podcast called Sounds Like a Cult talking about whether or not Gilmore Girls is a cult.
Gilmore Girls fandom is a cult.
Yes. That's specifically... The fandom. Not Gilmore Girls. And not Gilmore Girls, but like the idea of like the Gilmore Girls fandom. Is it a cult? Yeah. And I think that one of the things that didn't make it a cult is it's so individual. Like it happens on your own.
Very much on your own terms.
Yeah. And I think that so many people come together with the love of it that especially like at like our live events, like afterwards, people were saying that they felt so like one of our listeners messaged me and said she felt so comfortable talking to the people there. And her friend was like, wow, you were the outgoing one today. I was so surprised. And she said, it's because I was around people who got it and who got me.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just like the extension of what Gilmore Girls means to them. And it all overwhelmed me today.
Yeah. No, it's a really beautiful thing to get to hear people's perspectives. We get to talk about this show every week and
every day,
you know, our opinions and our thoughts and how we feel about things. But talking about what the show means to us and then to also hear the community of people that we talk to every week respond to that and share what it means to them is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, because I feel like we have very different opinions. People call in and they disagree with us. But I think at the end of the day, the thing that I love so much is that we all love this thing so differently, but we all get the same thing from it, which is just that endless comfort.
Totally.
That cannot be denied.
Yeah. No, the love of the show really anchors all of us, and it anchors the community. It anchors the show itself just to be rooted in love and family and, again, community.
Yeah. And I loved it so much because I love when you say the show is soup. Love
it
is, soup.
It's like soup.
I made baked potato soup the other day. It was great.
You did? Like, oh my God, girls. I wanted soup so bad the other day.
It was really good. Yeah, it took a really long time because I had to peel all the potatoes.
Well, you like making it from scratch. Yeah. Oh my God, that's when I move in together, we're going to make so many things from scratch.
Crockpot so season.
Well, I love a crock pot. I don't know if he has one, but he has a KitchenAid. He cooks, this man. This man cooks. And I don't really have a big kitchen.
Let him look it.
But we like to make things together, which is a lot of fun. But I'm excited to make soup.
You're the sous chef. You stand there and cut a thing and watch him.
Yes.
I'm there for the conversation. He's there for the cooking.
Exactly.
It's very Luke and Lorelai.
Exactly.
It's like when she's like stirring it. She's like, I'm going to burn it.
Exactly. That's me. Genuinely. I'm like, okay, I'll stir it. But I'm also going to bring. Yeah. What does she bring? Nancy Sinatra?
Oh, Rosemary Clooney.
Rosemary Clooney. Yeah. and Clooney, Rosemary, and the candles. That's George. Me. I bring the ambiance.
Yeah.
I bring the conversation. Yeah. I can peel a potato, but don't ask me to do anything fancy. I can make a great charcuterie board.
Yes. I could be let me arrange this. Let me arrange the table. Mm-hmm. You make us the food. Perfect. Yeah. It's very Luke and Lorelai of you. Do you agree, like, when you hear the question, like, what does Gilmore Girls mean to you? Do you feel that same way as all of these people who made me sob this morning?
I do. I do. You know, it is the idea of escaping to an aspirational, idyllic, yet simple place, especially in today's world. We're the hottest person there. Yeah. And where everybody loves you and where you can do no wrong. Yeah, there's something really beautiful about that. But in reading a lot of people's responses about the legacy of Gilmore Girls, I do agree with you that they go hand in hand with a lot of these responses, because what I believe the legacy of Gilmore Girls is that you can always come back home. And coming home is a very...
It's so Hannah Montana. You always find your way back home.
It's true.
You can change your hair and you can change your...
What's the other... You can always come back home. What is that song? I think that Jason Mraz sings that in one of his songs.
Hannah Montana and Jason Mraz, contemporaries.
Love, obsessed. But... It is that feeling. And I think the revival, that's really the theme of the revival, is coming home. Whether that's to yourself, coming home to the people that raised you, returning home after a fight with a family member. But I do think that that theme is threaded throughout the entire series. And I love that in reading these responses about the legacy of Gilmore Girls, that it also talks about the complexities of who we are as people and what our relationships look like, and that love is really at the baseline of it all and brings us back home. I also love the idea, especially as I'm getting older, and we just talked about the joys of like being in the city and feeling so excited about it. But there is also a lot of beauty and simplicity. And I think that Gilmore Girls is such a fine example of that. And as I've gotten older, and of course, as I lean heavier into the show that has gone from being a comfort show to remaining a comfort show, but also being something I talk about as my job, I think it's something that I also strive for in a way that I never did before. I always saw myself as like pure city girl, even though I was raised in a small town in Connecticut. Because of that, I saw myself as a city girl. But there's a lot of ways in which I crave that small town simplicity, and that can be enough, you know?
Yeah.
That's so kind of a really long answer, like... but yes, I agree with what everybody's saying.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think in terms of like what Gilmore Girls means to you, it has definitely changed for me, because like it used to be this like just bubble of comfort, and it's not that way anymore, but I've definitely had to split it because it has become such a job. And it's also become this really beautiful thing of like, I am now associated with Gilmore Girls. Like when sometimes people, not just in my life, but now like outside people who listen to the podcast, they like see something Gilmore Girls related and they think to send it to me. And I love that about it, that like my favorite thing has turned into something I'm now associated with, which is what you love. Like anytime my mom's out shopping and she sees something even vaguely related to Gilmore Girls, she'll get it for me. Like those dragonfly boxes, the one that she sent to you.
She sent to me, yeah.
She got two of them because she goes, which one do you want? I'm sending the other one to Tara. You guys need these. And they're just little like glass boxes that have metal dragonfly on the front, and you open it up. It's so cute. She saw it at Home Goods. She was out shopping and she saw a t-shirt with yellow daisies on it. She's like, it was on sale, so I got it for you. Or my sister, she knew that we hit 5 million streams, and she was at Hallmark and she saw all the Gilmore Girls stuff. So she got me a frame because she was like, I saw this and I thought of you and I thought you needed it. Wow. So I love that like other people are thinking of me in relation to my favorite thing, because I thought that, like, you know, my family, they're always going to think of me when they think Gilmore Girls, because like that was the soundtrack coming from my bedroom for all of my teenage years. But that other people now associate, that they send me TikToks and all these things, and like been able to make friends from this. And it just feels like more than just the show now, which I love.
Well, yeah, because the show is also about community. And that is what a lot of people wrote in the legacy of Gilmore Girls for them, is that this show really, really focuses on community building, especially for the character that we see not really knowing how to navigate a relationship with her family, choosing to lean into this community of people in this small town is her family, and that it takes a village, as Mamalu said.
I love that with the village people.
And so to build that outside of the show with other people who love this show just as much is very special.
Yeah, like it's so, like you saying that we're going to be together for the anniversary on Saturday feels really fun. But the fact that we're going to be with like a community of people that we have built around this like community-based show feels really magical. And I will cry. Buy a ticket Saturday if you want to see me cry.
Yeah, if for nothing else, just buy the ticket so you can see Haley cry.
Yeah, or like go back 15 minutes in this episode when I was crying. Fair. But in terms of the legacy, I actually kind of broke it out into two categories because I felt like a lot of the things that people were saying in the legacy also is what they think of when they think of more goals. Totally. But I also think there's a legacy of the show itself and then like a thematic legacy of like what the show is about, because I feel like they can kind of fit in two different ways, because it's almost like the legacy of Gilmore Girls is in turn the career legacy of Amy Sherman Palladino and like her signature and her stamp of what her career can be from the show and will always live on. But then there's like a thematic legacy to like the narrative that I think will live on past the live airing of the show, if you will. So these are some of the things that people wrote in our box of like the question box that we put up. The first one is about the box, which is why I just said that. But this is the category of the show itself, I think, and like the Amy Sherman Palladino kind of show. Someone said, oh my God, how could I sum it up in such a tiny box? And then immediately someone did it very easily and said, motherhood.
One word.
So that made me laugh. But motherhood done truly and honestly. Female-centered stories can be successful and long-lasting. But I feel like that one is something of a legacy of Amy Sherman Palladino, of like female-centered stories and like how they can be, especially with this one. This one has lasted long past its air date. This is a real dramedy in a way that like I feel like a lot of shows don't actually fall into dramedies. Either they are like true comedies or they're a little too dramatic. Where's the jokes? Where are we laughing? Life is cozy and maybe a little evil too.
I wrote that one down. Me laugh.
Powerful women in skinny scarves.
Powerful women in skinny scarves. I changed it to powerful women, skinny scarves. And I just thought that would be so funny on a t-shirt.
Powerful I just women, love
skinny scarves.
They should change Life Short Talk Fast to Powerful Women Skinny Scarves.
So true.
Importance of simple storytelling. I loved that. Witty, captivating, fast dialogue. The timelessness of no other show, which I think is generous. I think there's other shows that have it, but not quite in the way that Gilmore Girls offers it. Generations of people gravitate towards the show with good reason. Timeless, small-town charm and family drama that is for every generation, wholesome and intelligent. And that's kind of like what I guess the show is the concept of the show versus like within the show itself, because I put thematic legacy or like takeaway from the show. Mundane stories can be just as important as sweeping dramatic stories. That could kind of fit into both of them, I think. Relationships are hard and messy, but we need each other. Loved that. Romanticizing the ordinary.
Romanticizing the ordinary was my favorite one. I loved it. And that's
so true.
So much. I was waiting for you to say it, because if you didn't, I was going to. I loved that. It's so simple and yet so poignant to how Gilmore Girls has touched so many people and why it is so comforting.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what, maybe from that is like what I kind of do. Like I try to romanticize the very mundane things in my life, because it's just things that I love and they deserve that romantic importance to shine, even though just like me reading a book in bed at night. Rory losing her bracelet for a whole episode vibes.
This one really I think that could honestly be the mantra of our show, our podcast, is like romanticizing the ordinary, because a lot of people are like, it's a TV show, and I'm like, you don't get it.
you don't get it. So sorry. That was gonna make me cry. Sorry. I'm just on the verge of tears.
You're
today.
A little emotional today.
I'm a little emo, especially for this next one. Is home is where and who you choose. Slayed me. Importance of family and community. Everyone makes stakes, not stakes. Not everyone makes
Everybody's
steaks, actually.
Cooking some ribeyes.
Everyone's cooking up.
Barbecue.
Everyone makes mistakes, but there's always time to repair them. Mm. Cozy Family Insanity. Loved that. And then I think that this is a perfect way to end it because it really tied into what you were talking about, the legacy to be, is we're welcome back to Stars Hollow no matter how long we've been, quote unquote, out on the road. Mm. Which I just felt was a nice summary. Like, you kind of like led into the end cap of this for me, which I loved. Yeah. One brain cell popping back and forth.
It's true. Wow. It's really special to read these and share these out loud, because I think that any of these could really summarize the legacy of Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
But I loved Romanticizing the Ordinary. I loved, I think I reworded this a little bit, but a timeless comfort story that connects people of different backgrounds and ages, because yeah. that is really what has been so long lasting in the mark that Gilmore Girls has left on people, is that it's a way to connect, similarly to what you were just sharing before about people feeling so comfortable around other Gilmore Girls fans because they have this mutual shared love, no matter who they are, where they come from, what their relationships are that they bring yeah. into the story. It's so easy to find connection and community yeah. here in this
It's an
space.
Easy friendship access point.
It is. Case in point, our friendship.
Yeah, that's why we can friends. Strangers true. To Gilmore Girls lovers, or Gilmore Girls lovers to strangers to friends.
Exactly.
Exactly. And this is the 24th anniversary of Gilmore Girls, but of course, what comes after 24? 25. We're really good at counting here at Gilmore to Say.
We really are.
And that feels monumental. Like, it Huge. Is just 1 year after the 24th, but something about 25, those like mile markers, feel giant in terms of the show, especially in terms of people who love this show and a show with a long-lasting following like this one has. So I think that what Tara and I decided, as we get to the 25th next year, we want to talk more about what the legacy is and what it means, because there are a lot of ways in which Gilmore Girls doesn't sit well with people. You know, it's an older show. There's a lot of like problems with it and mistakes that were made. But I think that at the core of it, what is so long-lasting is the community aspect of mm-hmm. what it has built from that, and what the comforting takeaway is. So I, over the next year, and our guests and talking to y'all and talking to each other, we really want to figure out what other people feel like the legacy is. If it is just all of these things that people listed, because there were a lot of answers. We asked a lot of you. So I feel like this is really good like encapsulation of it. But I just want to talk to more people about what they think it is. Like Gilmore Girls writers, people who worked on the show, people mm-hmm. who love the show, people who came in late to the show. And just kind of figure out what it means to other people, if there's other different things that we haven't thought of. And figure out what the legacy is as we head towards 25. Wow.
No, the show is when I say that, a quarter-life crisis.
I know. When I say that, its frontal lobe will be fully developed. Gilmore Girls.
Thank God.
Thank God. But when I say when I say like 25th anniversary of Gilmore Girls, I'm like, I act like I was a part of it. Like, I mean, like, I'm so proud of this thing. Like I act like it's not, like I'm a mother of this show. Like, I'm Amy. I'm Lauren. Like, I'm just so proud that we've reached 25. As if it would die. It can't die.
No, of course not. But I'm very curious what's going to happen next year. I wonder, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Because people are going to start to realize, like, oh my gosh, it's the 25th anniversary. It reminds me of that conversation that Paris has with Madeline, Louise, and Rory. She's like, yeah. the 75th anniversary of the Franklin, like the 75th anniversary. Well, we didn't do anything for the 74th anniversary issue. And it's just so yeah. funny. But yeah, that's it, is it's monumental.
Exactly what you were just saying.
It's monumental because it's yeah. 25 years. That's crazy.
I wonder
that's
if like the century. WB or anything will be doing anything to celebrate it, because like it's not like a birthday where it was gonna like potentially not make it that far, but like it was always going to, but it just feels yeah. like it's just so
well just
huge
the fact that
to...
it's more popular now than it was yeah. 25 years ago is in and of itself, which I guess you could say about people, maybe. They're more popular 25
Ooh,
years after.
Were you more popular as a baby or now?
I don't know. Probably when I was a baby. People
Technically,
were very
I think I'm more popular and well-known now than when I was a baby. Not a lot of people knew me then.
That's fair.
I'm like, close circle, close intimate circle of people.
That's so true.
But couldn't really say anything.
Couldn't really yap the way we do today. Yeah. But it's true. I feel like this show has had such a lasting impact, you know, speaking to the legacy of the show within the 25 years, that next year is going to be very interesting to kind of see who comes out, who talks about it. I wonder if Amy's going to do something, like you said, WB is going to do something.
WB, Netflix, anyone.
I don't know.
We're available if you guys want to celebrate, because we love celebrating Gilmore Girls.
We love it.
We don't know who's listening that's going to. A cake! Oh, you know, gosh. Like
they did for the 100th episode, the 25th year.
We're doing cakes for our live show in December for our birthdays. Happy birthday, girlies. Or happy,
it's true.
Happy birthday, besties, when we go to Atlanta on December 5th. We're also going to St. Louis on November 7th. Lots of fun stuff coming up. But
I'm excited. On
Saturday, we will be in
Ann Arbor. I can't wait to meet y'all. It's going to be so fun. But so speaking of community, we talked about community a lot in this episode because, again, that goes hand in hand with the legacy of Gilmore Girls. But community can also often be confused for cultish
behavior,
which we were so excited to talk to Amanda Montell from Sounds Like a Cult. Her podcast is amazing. We did two episodes, first on her podcast, which I don't know if that's aired yet by the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure the date that that's airing, but I'm really excited for that one because that one that really was a great
conversation.
That one is Gilmore Girls fandom occult. And it was one of those things of like, I feel like her talking to us like crazy fans, like it was like very clear that like we were
I was like
off the charts in terms of the fandom. But it was so much fun, and she loves Gilmore Girls.
She does. She's a fan of Gilmore Girls. But when we started talking about doing this episode way back at the beginning of this year, we knew that we wanted to do it for Gilmore Girls season, especially on Rory Gilmore's birthday, because there is a mom mentality that kind of surrounds this fandom when it comes to their opinions on people. I know I've led the charge on the Dean mob mentality of hating him, but there has also been a lot of discourse about Rory Gilmore and how people feel towards her. We did an episode last year called Happy Birthday, Rory Gilmore, Everybody Hates You. So we thought it would be really fun to do an episode about the mob mentality that surrounds that narrative.
And we'll have more to say on the next episode.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.